Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
The ladies of Dallas might be making frenemies, but we're all friends here on this panel, right, guys? Yeah. Join us right now, plus a very special guest for the Real Housewives of Dallas after show.
You're tuning into the destination for TV super fan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, everyone? It's just the lovely, right?
I love it. This is a great song, Susan.
Thank you.
Welcome, everyone, to the Real Housewives of Dallas after show right here on AfterBuzz TV. We're very excited. Things picked up this episode.
They did.
And we have a very special guest in studio. I, of course, am your host, Blake V. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Blake V Media. Guys, where can everyone find you?
What's up, everyone? I'm Thomas Erlina, and you can find me at Thomas Erlina on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook.
I'm DJ Richie Scott, and you can stalk me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Scott.
Stalk him. There's good stuff there. Good stuff. And we have a wonderful guest tonight. We're very excited. Susan Tony, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I love it.
We're listening to one of her songs right now. This one's called The Trail of Light and Dark. Beautiful. And beautiful video, too. It's so scenic and excellent.
Thank you.
So we're all fans of the Dallas Housewives, of course, and yep. This was a good episode. I was excited. It was finally starting to pick up.
It started to feel more of like a Housewives episode.
Right.
Completely.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like, absolutely. So we'll kind of just go down the list and talk about some of the main topics here.
Yeah, that's it.
Let's do it.
I think probably the biggest issue, we were even just talking about this before, was Brandy with the strip club scenario.
That's a problem.
So the girls went out to lunch. It was Brandy and Stephanie, and Carrie joined, and somehow they all decided to go to the strip club.
Right.
As you do at lunch, right? Let's just go to the strip club.
Yeah, right. Happens all the time.
Yeah. So they go. Exactly. So they go, and Brandy has a little more fun than the other ladies, shall we say?
Yeah, she was kind of leading
them. Audience guest.
Yeah, completely. Which was interesting.
But it's a strip club.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you're supposed to throw dollar bills, lay out on the floor and dance with a stripper. I mean, she did everything you're supposed to
do. She did. She was a perfect participant.
She was offered a job.
She did. She was offered a job. That was funny. So she comes home and tells Brian, and Brian gets upset. But let's talk about this for a second, because it seems like she really doesn't have the best relationship with Brian right now. Brian's always gone. He's checked out.
He's emotionally checked out.
Completely. Yeah. And it's really hurting her. So, I mean, if she's kind of trying to reach out for attention and stuff like that, can you blame her?
Oh, that's true.
You know?
Yeah. And I don't think she was looking for love in the wrong places. I think she was just an audience participant.
Yeah.
And when she told her husband, he reacted, I think, inappropriately, because she was just being an audience participant.
Yeah.
And I think maybe he feels guilty that he's not really involved in the relationship at this point. So we want to say, not what's up with her, but what's up with you, Brian?
Yeah.
Where are you?
I personally don't think that she should have told him anything and just let the episode air.
Just
left it there
the
anyway. And I feel like when she said that, she probably told him that story in such a way that it made him think something different.
Think it was worse.
But then again, he seemed so barely there. I don't even know if that really was big of an issue. It just seemed like another annoyance for him.
Yeah.
That he has to kind of put up with from her.
Yeah.
Maybe he's looking for an excuse because he's not doing something right.
That's what it feels like to me.
I mean, just, I'm sorry. Relationships are complicated, but that's my eye into that one.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yes.
Because he did seem kind of like, I don't know, like, where's your personality?
He was
like, I wanted something.
Where's your love for Brandy? And not just intimate sexual love, but where's your caring for this human being that you have a marriage with? Mm-hmm. Where's that connection?
Truly.
And I think he didn't even bother to act like he, and for the cameras at all. It was just kind of like,
I got this conference call. I'm going to leave now.
Right.
Yeah, see you later.
Yeah.
Sorry about your granddad.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of, so Brandy was having all kinds of relationship problems in this episode. Her husband was one, but we learned about her grandfather. So in the past couple episodes, we met Brandy's mother, and we learned that she had her children very young, and we were kind of told that the grandparents disowned her mother for having children so young, but we kind of learned it was maybe a different story this week. And the grandfather wants to come back in Brandy's life.
I know, which is good.
Yeah.
I'm happy for her. I think that she, you know, she felt like she was lied to for all these years. So it's kind of nice that hopefully he'll come on.
Yeah. And interesting, too, that she told the husband this as well. And she was like, I don't think he gets it. I don't think he understands how important it is.
I don't think he understands relationships.
Yeah.
Was he resentful, though?
He works, but he doesn't have a relationship.
I don't think we could tell. He had, like, no emotion, and he's like, so I'm going to go do this conference call.
I almost feel like he's checked out of the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know what I mean? So that whatever she said to him, it really wasn't going to matter. Like, you know, it's the second coming of Christ. Really? Yeah. I gotta check this conference call, so I'll see you later. That's what it felt like.
I think he's doing something else. Outside of the relationship, because he's working. He's certainly not cutting back on his work relationship. His relationship is going on outside of their marriage, I think.
Yeah. Yikes. I mean, could be. The signs feels like are
it.
There.
Feels
yeah.
like it.
Definitely.
I did feel bad for her, though.
Yeah.
I know, right? And I'm
felt like, wow, because she's, you know, she's sensitive, she's sweet, she's charming, she's got a beautiful heart.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, you are missing it. You got a beautiful woman here.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Very much agreed. Yeah. So we're definitely liking Brandy a lot more. I am liking Carrie a lot more.
Yes. Yeah.
Carrie has come.
I like her. Yes. I like her.
Absolutely. So she's
I like where she's coming from.
Absolutely. And she's kind of stepping out of where she has been in the past couple episodes. Yeah. We're seeing a little more of her. Her and her husband have the most hilarious relationship.
Beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful. They're really, truly friends.
They love each other.
They are friends.
They're friends, and they love each other, and that's the best marriage, you know? That is it.
And especially when that love allows your husband to pick out your outfits, and they're good ones.
Oh, my God. He's her stylist. I love it. Yeah. She wears scrubs, you know, all day long, so he, like, styles her. I love it.
So I think this is really funny, because in a previous episode, we saw that when Carrie met Mark, he wasn't all that, and she had to kind of mold him and modify him. But now he's the one calling the shots.
Yeah.
And he's the designer. Isn't that funny?
Well, evidently, I think Carrie made him feel at home and loved and special. So he gets to blossom. And, I mean, that's the great thing in relationship. If you're caring towards one another, then you can bump into those difficult places that maybe need a little weed pulling or a little gardening or a little water. But you can help the other person become really the great person they are.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And Carrie certainly seems like she's allowing Mark all of these interests.
Yeah. It's a good balance. I think it's the best marriage relationship on the show so far.
Yes.
Listen, I love it. I really do. But I do think he's going to get a little bit of backlash because he is so invested in her personal style. I mean, she is like his little Barbie doll.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, think about it. Not that it's a bad thing, but it's just kind of like...
It's really interesting.
Yeah. He
was doing the most.
Oh, for really? Sure. he was calling out her closet more than she even knew what was
going on that episode.
Yeah.
I think he's got a gift.
He does have a gift.
I think he's just got a gift.
For her. But he was like, you need to come fill my closet. And I was like, no.
Oh, that was so funny. So speaking of the show, we learned that Tiffany has this blog, Sanctuary of Style.
Yes. I enjoyed seeing that.
I did too.
That was cool.
I felt like that gave me more of an insight into what she's doing and what she's interested in versus just him. Because I felt like it had been very focused on
the
him.
The husband and the music.
Yeah. Right. It was a commercial for him. But now it's like her and what she's up to. I like that.
And I loved it. And she looked cute and sounded cute.
It was perfect for her.
It was totally perfect.
Yeah, and Aaron was working the whole event for her. Like, he was, like, getting everything together. He was really helping her out.
Yes. Yeah. So and that was he nice. Films all her segments. I mean, that's supportive. That's sweet.
Yep, it is.
I like that a lot.
So they're cute.
They're very cute.
Yeah. Tiffany and Aaron are cute.
And they were even talking about figuring out a charity event, of course, because everything is charity.
Yeah, right.
But
another commercial for him. Yeah.
Well, but also for her.
But for her as well.
Yes. And
something
I like how,
for both of them.
Exactly. And I like how she slid that in the beginning. She's like, to get me in the charity scene. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, she's newer to Dallas. She just moved back.
Right.
And they both need to get in the mix. So I think that's great.
And I think it was great how he said, yeah, absolutely. And it will work for me too as an artist. It'll help me as well.
For sure. Why not work together?
And I thought that was really humble of him, you know, because it's like it was very obvious in that statement that he wants his wife to feel at home and shine and do well. So, mm-hmm. you know, just another great chemistry between
two people. Yeah, he seems nice. Yeah. And I think in the last episode when they were house hunting, they sort of had a moment of like, oh, well, we don't know if we're going to stay, if Aaron's going to be happy with his career. But this was nice. Right. This was nice for them to come together.
It was.
And kind of agree. I also want to make a correction because I feel like last week I was referring to Aaron as Tiffany's boyfriend.
Oh.
And he's definitely not the boyfriend. Yes. They've been married for 11 years.
Yes.
So, husband but Aaron, I'm sorry.
I didn't know. That wasn't as clear to me as it was in this episode when they specifically said 11 years. Because I was like, wow, I didn't realize it had been that long.
Neither did I. Yeah.
Right.
I thought he was the boyfriend for a long time, but no, definitely the husband. Yeah.
Right.
There we go.
Okay. Well,
and she definitely, you know, she did a big sacrifice going to LA and living there for a while, you know.
Yeah.
Being there with him.
And I think that, you know, they both were sort of working on their careers and it worked at that time for sure. But like now the stars must have aligned for them to come back to Dallas, you know, and maybe things are... Mm-hmm. Meant to be for them there. Thomas, what were you going to say?
I think it was with her, like, having her boyfriend there. But do you think it's a way for her to kind of separate herself from Leanne and doing her own charity event and doing, you know, something for...
Absolutely.
Getting out of Leanne's space a little bit and creating a lane
Give
for herself.
Give it to us, Richie.
I think that she's...
Right.
Yearning to get out from under Leanne's shadow.
That's what I'm getting. Yes.
All throughout the episode, we got sprinkles of that notion from her.
Right.
So I think that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
And we saw, I mean, kind of speaking of Leanne and Tiffany kind of getting out of her shadow.
Sure.
We saw Leanne be very aggressive
this episode.
She was almost felt like she was almost a bully.
Yeah.
And controlling around, it kind of became not what was best for this charity, for these elderly women that had been a part of this for a long time. But how anything that happened in life was a reflection on her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then therefore they would disdain that, and therefore that shame would come rushing back to them like a tidal wave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way she was approaching them on how to behave when she was there at those functions. And I think that's completely the wrong way to make that point.
Definitely.
Because you don't hurt people and shame them in the process of making them feel good about being involved in something.
Right. And she had a couple interesting quotes, too. She said, I need to make these girls understand the rules. And, you know, she was just sort of like bossy, I feel like, to Tiffany. And Tiffany's kind of like, well, I want to be friends with who I want to be friends
with.
Exactly.
Territorial.
Very territorial.
This was the first episode that I feel like I started to see maybe a different side to her than before. Because really before, it just... seemed like she was extremely into charity, and that was the driving force. So we didn't really get why the other girls were so
such an issue for her.
I didn't understand that until now.
I think Leanne is also seeing that, you know, groups are starting to form, and in Housewife history, you need to keep your clique together. And the fact that, you know, she wants to go and hang out with Carrie, go hang out with Stephanie, go hang out with Brandy. I mean, you know what I mean? I feel like she's just seeing.
And
you know,
even
what I mean?
The husband noticed that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when she said, if you bow, I'm going to bow back. That was kind of like her line in the sand. And then it's no longer a working relationship and let's all do something together.
Right,
it's kind
like
of like I'm in charge and it's my way or the highway.
Definitely.
And that's hard to make friends around that scenario.
And it's funny too because she's so much about these charity events and so much about her reputation. She doesn't want anybody in the charity world to think badly about her, and she wants to do all of this. But when it comes to these women, she's very quick to be pushy and mean and tell them right to get in line. Well, at some point your friendship is going to need to come into balance, and those girls are going to say, well, you're so focused on the charity people. Hello, we're your friends.
Yeah,
give us a little respect too.
I'm already seeing the end of this. I don't know about
it's not
Leanne.
Ending well
I know,
for you, Thomas.
I'm seeing Leanne and I'm seeing the girls banding together. But, I mean, we'll see how it goes because there's a lot more to go.
Definitely.
Well, there's, you know, it's almost like the girls that are being beat up are going to have to take the high road. And maybe in the end, they're going to be the ones that are going to be helping Leanne because she's got so much shame. Mm-hmm. She doesn't see it.
Yeah.
She doesn't see it.
Definitely. Well, she certainly has sort of this controlling aspect that's going to be interesting to see develop through the rest of the season, too. Mm-hmm. How the girls react to it, how she deals with it.
I almost feel like she's more reacting to losing control than anything else.
Yes, like she feels
that's kind of what I'm starting to see.
Exactly.
As the episodes go on.
Like desperation. Like yeah, she doesn't want to lose this thing.
And it's almost like that she's attached they're not respecting her.
Right.
And she has this position that they need to respect.
Yes, and that's funny because she kept saying how respect is so, it's so important to her in terms of the charities, like respect the elders. But it's almost like she's saying, but respect me.
Yeah.
Whether
yeah.
or not I'm an elder,
yeah.
I deserve the respect too.
Yeah.
I did like on this episode, though, that we got to see, you know, her personal life at home with Rich. You know what I mean? So we're seeing, last episode, we were just seeing full force charity, you know, the Mad Hatter's event. But now we're seeing her at home with his daughter. It was nice.
I'm a Leanne fan for some reason.
Yeah.
Because I kind of wanted her to be the Lisa Vanderpump of this group of women.
Uh-huh.
However, the thing that I think is so different about her is that she's trying to lead by force. I don't feel like Lisa Vanderpump does that.
No.
You know what I mean? So, and I feel like in order for her to keep me as a viewer on her side, she's going to have to be less aggressive.
Yeah, exactly. Much less aggressive. I want to have them write a guest spot for me so I can come in.
Tell us.
And help Leanne understand her own shame and be able to really then impart to them something that might help them without shaming them, you know, bringing them in as, I love you guys so much, it's so important, let me just show you how to just show up and let's be there for them, and we'll leave all of our little micro worlds at home and we'll just be there, we'll care about these women, this is so important to them, and then they'll see your individual beauty, you know, as you share yourselves with them.
Definitely need that.
Yeah. So I want to help with that.
There you go, Andy Cohen. Bring on Susan.
There you go.
So Leanne's, you know, all these control issues are definitely a problem. We're gonna have to see where this goes, but. At the end, we sort of see them come together, Leanne, Carrie, and Stephanie, and they sort of have this confrontation with Leanne kind of focusing on her control and how she thinks the women should act. And she brings these props and, like, documentation to prove
that she had the printouts ready to go.
Everything was ready to go.
Right.
And Carrie's like,
the red lines.
Yeah. And Carrie's like, I just got out of surgery. I forgot my scrubs on. What is so important about this? I got 20 other important things I could be focusing on.
Yeah, I'm the doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So Leanne, like, took the time to organize her game plan and the props. And what do we think about that?
You know what? We're seeing a lot of printouts because I was watching The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Lisa
and Rinna.
Oh my gosh.
The infamous printout means nothing to us as the viewer. It doesn't because we can't really read that.
Well, right.
You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I love when Carrie told her, you have to be born into that.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, like, right.
Burn.
Right. Yeah. Right. Because Leanne, born a carny, she was born into the carnival, has self-made, I guess, risen herself into Dallas
risen
Charity.
Risen herself into Dallas
Yes. Charity. And that's interesting because, I mean, Carrie has a point. It does seem like a lot of these families are like original Dallas families.
Well, yeah. It goes back generations.
Exactly.
Really. Yeah. I went to SMU. So, yeah. It goes back.
There you go.
Right.
So Susan knows. So that you know,
it's true. You can't buy it. It's just like my mom's involved with stuff, you know, with Rotary Ann's and Salvation Army, and you just show up and you're just bright and happy and help.
Yeah.
You just show up and you help them. You don't bring any of your stuff into it.
Right, which is funny because Leanne brings all of this and she's like, oh, reputation, list, and gotta do this, gotta do that. But is it really like that?
No, there's a much easier way to get along with people and to make them feel like you're a part of their group and helping them.
There you go. So it must be the control thing. That must be why Leanne's...
You know why I think
she's also desperate. I think, you know, inside all of us, isn't there a little secret that we're terrified that somebody will find out about us when we're living from a place of shame instead of a place from authenticity, where we've done work, where we've prayed, we've come clean, we've looked in the mirror truly.
Yeah.
You know, so I think maybe there's this, maybe there's a chance for Leanne in that kernel that's way deep inside that's been driving her need to be in this is also a kernel of shame. And so that's what I was talking about. I was like, I want to counsel her so she can heal that.
Right.
And so she can really come together not only with these girls, but then she can deposit something that will help enrich their lives as well, but really then help this group of women who are invested and who have done many amazing things and probably earned a lot of money and raised a lot of money for great causes in Dallas. So
yeah, definitely.
I think you may have hit on something because I almost feel like she has this need, since she was a carny kid,
to prove something to all of the other ladies or the community or whatever.
You know, I just feel like she's working a little too hard to do that.
Right, overcompensating. Yeah.
Overcompensating. Yeah. And so then on facets she can't control, like the people around you, you can never control that.
Yeah.
And it's terrorizing her.
Yeah.
It's making her feel terrified. Mm-hmm. And so she's reacting in a very bullyish, controlling way.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, is you can't control the people around you. So that's like in my notes right here. She's so upset over what Brandy did at this event. And she's, the disrespect. And she can't take it. But people are going to do what they're going to do.
Of course.
And
exactly.
The charity knows it wasn't Leanne. So why is she so personally upset by it?
Right.
That's interesting to me.
Right.
You know, I think it was maybe because the poop was in her chair.
Yeah.
She was targeted.
It was targeted poop. So I think it
took her way back, maybe, way too it, close it, to yeah, Carney again.
It wasn't the first time she found poop in her chair.
That was why.
I think why we liked Carrie so much on this episode is because we needed somebody that was going to be like, I'm not afraid of her. And when she sat down, she's like, I can talk louder. So she's not going to back down from Leanne.
And Carrie touched that sensitive spot. She threw it right in her face to Leanne and said, you can't buy your place in this society. You have to be born in it. And Leanne probably was like, that was probably the moment that she had to say, ooh, I got to go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's too true.
Right.
Yeah. Because, Leanne, I'm with you. I'm a fan of hers, and I think she's super likable and has those
sides.
She's
got a lot of great things about her.
Absolutely. And so it's like, it almost feels sort of like a character, like an aggressive character. Mm-hmm. She's playing on that. But just be cool. Just be friends with everyone. Yeah. Be supportive.
Right,
and
right.
It'll be great.
Be cool.
Just be cool. And then aren't you also bringing that beauty to the group? Look at this assortment of people out in the world that I'm friends with, as we should all be when we're helping raise money for something, because it's really a community of the world.
So true.
Of the city. Mm-hmm. Aren't we all working together? You know what I mean? So it brings that instead of any of those other
things. You focus on the group instead of the individual.
Yeah, exactly.
For the cause.
Talk about Stephanie for a second.
Yes, please.
I'm so glad that she finally kind of developed a little bit of a backbone in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she said her little 2 cents at the end. I thought it was just great. Yep. She defended her friend for once instead of throwing her under the bus like she did last time.
So
I thought that was awesome. Go, Stephanie.
Yes. Go, Stephanie. Yes. Totally. And I loved her little quip when she was talking about her husband leaving. What were they talking about? Who left? Somebody left. Somebody came home and the husband was gone. Oh, Carrie was talking about
First husband.
Yeah.
Right.
She goes, I came home and he was just gone. And Stephanie goes, if my husband was gone,
I would hunt
him down just to bring him back home and
to
murder him.
to murder him. Right. Right.
I thought that was great.
I like her a lot. Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah. I just do. She's fun to me.
Yeah. Yes. And just the way she said it was so funny. Mm. That's the part of her personality that I love. So I hope we see a lot more of that.
It's like she was saying, I'm going to save him lots of time suffering in prison.
Right. Completely. Absolutely. I know. Stephanie is definitely a good character that I'm excited to see more of. And I was really just happy this whole episode, the women came out individually.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we have that to look forward to. And
we're seeing their true inner morality. We're seeing their true inner strengths, and we're seeing their true inner weaknesses and areas where they're fragile. We all have, we all have these strengths. And we all have these little weak areas. And if the people around us are good people, then we get healed, right? And then when we're around people that need a little help in one area or another, we help them, So
there you go.
We're seeing all of that.
You attract your tribe.
You're seeing that. You're seeing that. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Okay, so we saw all of these women individually. It was great. What are we hoping to see more of? Not necessarily predictions, but what are we hoping to see more of from any particular character? Even though we've seen more this week, is there any person we still are not quite sure about? about? We want to know a little more.
I want to dive into more Brandy's situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
was about to say
that. I want to see what else is up there.
I needed to see what I saw tonight to kind of juxtapose that with the poop and everything from before.
I'm ready for some. I'm ready for that healing and that mother, grandfather, daughter. Mm-hmm. There's like it
that's
just
a very
seems
deep.
Seems like
situation.
There's a lot of years of a tragedy, you know. And because they're talking about it, well, then it can heal.
There you go. Yeah. That's the first step. And you know, maybe that is why Brandy kind of has this really, you know, loud, kind of funny personality, because that's what helps get her through. She seems like she's got a lot of, you know, issues to deal with her family, her husband, whatever. So she just kind of relies on the humor and poop jokes and whatever gets her through.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I get that vibe.
It's so funny. I see a lot of the similarities with her and the other Brandy that we all know. You know, so it's kind of like interesting how these almost sort of hurtful situations have kind of shaped their personalities and how much they kind of act out at times.
That's so good because they're the ones who've kind of gone at each other the most is Brandy and Leanne. Mm-hmm. So that reflects kind of their situations.
And they've both been hurt in different places. And they both have handled that hurt in a different way.
Yeah. Ooh, how astute, Richie.
Yes. There you go.
Very good. Great. So I guess let's get into predictions now.
All
let's
right.
do
let's
that.
Let's do it. Okay.
And then we'll chat a little bit with Susan.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. So we're three episodes in. Uh-huh. We're seeing a little more. What do we think is going to happen? We saw a little fight coming up next week.
I think we're going to see a fallout.
Okay.
I think we're going to see a fallout.
Between Leanne and Stephanie?
I think Leanne. I
Leanne and everybody.
Wrong. Right. Yeah.
I think that the room is going to get, the walls are going to get loud and they're going to say something, the walls are going to say something to Leanne.
Yeah.
I think Leanne's going to be not put in her place, but reminded. Mm-hmm. And then I think Leanne's going to have to do a little soul searching that maybe she hasn't been felt safe enough to do for a long time. There's going to be some like tears in herself that she's going to have to deal with.
Some soul tears.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think it's going to be interesting to see Tiffany and her kind of go head to head. This episode, we saw her kind of tell Tiffany, like, oh, you can't be friends with any of these other women.
Right.
But obviously, Tiffany wants to branch out. And I think we're going to see a little bit of that next week. I know the fight wasn't necessarily between Leanne and Tiffany, but it seems like emotions were running high against Leanne from all the ladies.
Yeah.
So.
And Tiffany was just observing. Did you see her on the side? She was just like watching everything. She wasn't defending. And
just being smart. Mm-hmm. Just kind of being patient and watching.
I'm waiting for a complete brawl between Leanne and Brandy, though.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's been simmering and kind of bubbling. So let it out.
Yeah.
But the surprise is going to be, if they write it the way that it'll be amazing, the surprise is going to be that upon the fight, and whoever that fight is with, that the surprise is going to be that each one of those ladies is going to come back in a compassionate way to Leanne.
You think so?
I think so. Because I think they're all, I think they all.
That'd be nice.
I think they're all.
It would be.
Well, you know, what do you do with a dog that's in the corner that's growling at you? What do you do with that dog?
Run.
You have to be nice to
you
it.
Have to love it.
You do.
You have to love it. And
that
so,
is true.
You know, I think their hearts are more healed and smarter at this point than Leanne's is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
That's my prediction.
Yeah. That's
my
a good prediction.
Yeah.
Very good prediction.
What about you? What do you think?
Well, like I said, I think that there might be a fallout for sure. And I feel like, I don't know, these women, I feel like we're starting to get to know them, but we need to know a little bit more. We need to see, you know what I mean? I feel like I still don't know you that well.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, we have a lot more to see. How about the Brandy Stephanie road trip with all the children in the car?
That looks fun.
Right? Okay, which, by the way, I loved how Brandy took her kids over to Stephanie's and then all the kids got in that little motorized car.
Danger!
All four of them took off, and then as they came back, one was missing. One fell off.
Mike was like, there's only three that's on that Jeep.
Where'd that little girl go?
And no one addressed it. No one said, like, oh, that one fell off. Where's the other one? Where's my child?
Oh my God.
Those two.
So cute.
So cute. So now they're collecting all the children again and going on a road trip.
Yeah.
It looked like they were visiting Brandy's family? Someone's family.
I thought it was Stephanie's family.
Yeah, I believe so.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. So we do need to see a lot more from Stephanie. I think she's the remaining lady that we really haven't learned enough about her story yet.
And I'm hoping that
yet.
She blossoms because she, you know, she has such a sweet life. She has her kids. I
she's
mean,
a great personality.
She's funny.
If she's going to be a housewife, she
really
needs
funny.
To, you know.
She's got
to
bring it.
You know what? She's got a million treasures that we're getting ready to see.
Yeah.
You know, there's really a neat current in that family. And, you know, and everybody's just going to be touched by it.
I like
it. And it's
it.
Contagious, you know. Yeah. You can't not be around that and not be changed and touched
right.
by it.
I know. It's fun for us to watch.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Susan, let's get to know you a little bit more.
Okay. All right.
Yes. Okay. So we came into the show with this great song.
This was fun today.
Yeah.
I loved it. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for being on. Tell us about your last album, Love is the Cure. I know we played this song earlier, but Love is the Cure. You've been talking a lot about that with the ladies tonight.
Yeah.
How is that kind of in your life?
Well, I think, you know, life is really about relationships. And they're so complicated. Mm-hmm. So this album is really a fabric of all the different places in our lives that are touched by relationship, boyfriend, friend, acquaintance, parents, difficult situations, great situations. And, you know, as you look at that whole thing, that whole piece of clothing together, you know, Love is the Cure, the Essential Collection, it is our love and our life as we learn to heal, as we learn to be the best that we can be, is a collection of things that we go through. Mm-hmm. And it's how we choose to go through them and what we choose to learn from them, you know, as we move forward that makes us the person that can do something here that's good and leave something that's good and help other people do something that's good.
Amazing. You know? You do need to go coach those ladies.
Mm-hmm. They need you there at the reunion.
They need you.
Oh, I love it. I have fun.
So you're from LA, but you went to Nashville. You did some work in Nashville. You're familiar with Dallas.
Yeah.
Do you think that has a play on the music you create? Does that?
Well, I was born in Norman, Oklahoma. You know,
okay,
famous for a lot of great people we know
about.
And my dad was in college, so we went to Norman, Stillwater, Kansas, Tulsa, Corpus Christi, and then back to Tulsa. All before I was in kindergarten, and then in kindergarten I was in Tulsa, then went from Tulsa to Huntington, Long Island, New York. When I go to New York, I still sound like a New Yorker.
It comes back.
Come
to
on,
you.
Ma, get the car. Going to Huntington, Long Island. You know, hi, how you doing? You know, I can still. It's all this stuff. Every geographic place I went to,
collected everything.
I can still do those dialects and everything. You
Amazing.
Know, so that's neat. But it is a life and relationships is a collection of the really good and difficult things that you go through.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't really become a whole person without being torn apart.
Mm-hmm. Mm. True.
And,
it's true.
And so it's how do we come back together? You know, what part of medicine are we going to take so we can come back together and be a whole person and have the rest of our life be beautiful? And where we go, leave joy instead of leaving chaos, you know.
So all of these feelings for you of love and, you know, finding the cure, leaving the cure.
Right.
What made you want to sort of give that through music and have people listen
to
your music?
Well, I think that, you know, music is amazing. Those eight notes do things that we can never do when we speak to somebody. And it opens the heart. The heart can't prevent being opened when it hears music. And so things can get deposited in there. You know, little pieces of gems, little pieces of wisdom, little pieces of whenever you're ready, you know, I'm right here. You know, God's voice or whatever voice you're hearing, you know, is like, whenever you're ready, I'm here. Let's do this. Let's help with this area. And so I love music for that because I can sing about something to somebody and I don't know who I'm singing to, but my whole attitude in life is like, you know, I'm like the girl next door that you want to go over and sit down and talk to because you know that I'm going to listen and you know that I'm not going to hurt you. And so when I sing music, that's what I'm doing to my audience. I'm like, tell me about it. Tell me what who you are. I want to know who you are. I mean, God wants to know who you are, and He wants us to know who each other is, so that we can feel valued.
Oh, Susan, that's so comforting.
Yeah. So we can heal. And you know, so love is the cure.
There you have
and
it.
And it is essential.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Strange Child Records.
Well, that's my little record company.
Wonderful.
And Strange Child Records, it's just, it's kind of biblical. Like, you know, it's strange to be here where there's so many conflicting and difficult things going on in our world, as we can see, where we can still maintain that peacekeeper and that spirit of God inside us and have that not be destroyed. And so I was the little girl watching, you know, difficult things everywhere I went and beautiful things everywhere I went, to be honest with you, and difficult and beautiful things in my own family. And, you know, from that I learned really like how to speak to all these different audiences, to these different people that were really all the same in that everybody wants to be loved and valued. But sometimes people get really lost.
Yeah.
And they're so hurt that they don't know how to not hurt others.
True. Or even find the way back to
Find the way back to who they really are. Yes. You know, the kernel of truth inside themselves. So anyway, I fell in love with music. Yeah. I fell in love with communicating to other people. I fell in love with writing. And I fell in love with the... I'm an artist also, a fine artist. So I fell in love with the picture that we're seeing. As we go through things in life. And so my songs are like journeys. They're like pictures of a moment in time that are very universal that people can relate to and walk into that room with me so that then they can continue that with themselves.
Fantastic.
That's awesome.
So before you're written on the show, the ladies need to check out Susan's album.
Yep.
Yes.
Love is the Cure, Susan Tony. There you have it.
Right. And I have five singles out, three of which have been on the Billboard charts in the last year.
Fantastic.
And more going back up. And I've been considered for 17 Grammys. So,
wonderful.
I'm excited about acting. I'm excited about singing. I'm excited about reaching out to people.
Amazing.
And touching them. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Susan, for joining us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
Talking Housewives with us.
Thank you.
This has been wonderful.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Well, tell everyone once again where they can find you.
Okay. Almost anything out there, you can just attach Susan Tony, SusanTony, at Twitter, at Facebook, Susan Tony Artist, or Susan Tony, at YouTube, Susan Tony. Apple Music, Susan Tony.
Everything
Amazon
Susan
Music,
Tony.
Susan Tony.
Perfect.
So everything out there. Yeah,
wonderful.
Right.
Well, thank you so much again, Susan.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate it.
Thank
you guys so much for tuning in tonight for our excellent third episode.
Wow.
Yes. Recap.
So
right?
Good. So good.
I've been your host, Blake V. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Blake V Media.
You guys can find me at Thomas Erlina on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook.
Stalk me at DJ Richie Scott on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat, Richie Scott.
Yeah.
Excellent. See you guys next week for episode 4.
Yay!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.